Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Context Machine, episode 663. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. And I'm looking at our episode number for today. And Brian, if you flip that upside down, it's E99. Hey, yes, also, we have a website, contextmachine.io.
You can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine. I tend to be on Threads at GeekTales. Jeff, where are you?
Yeah, you're pretty active on Threads, which is cool. I am pretty active on Mastodon, and I'm, just like all the other services, JGamut.
Right. Do you know anything about today's sponsor?
No, I don't. It's LinkedIn Jobs, and I think it's pretty cool that they're a sponsor today.
Yep, it is very cool, and we will tell you more about them later in the show. For now, though, we're going to get into tabletop role-playing. No. No, wait.
Or as we like to call it, therapy session.
Tabletop robotics.
Oh, right.
Right.
It's not therapy session.
Right. It's a different tabletop row. That's the thing. Anyway, look.
I see what you did there.
Such as it is. So Apple is rumored again to be dabbling with home robotics. And I note that this rumor, which is coming from Mark Gurman, which, you know, is a source that I usually trust. This really seems like this is a continuation of the rumors about Apple doing a HomePod with a screen.
I'd say it's a continuation of that. It's, yeah, like the evolution of that.
Yeah. And like now I'm starting to buy into it, because I am sure that Apple was working on a HomePod with screen several years ago. You know, when these rumors were circulating, but I was not at all sure. I was sure that product was not coming out.
And that's fair. I mean, Apple is working on all kinds of projects that will never see the light of day.
Right.
But in some cases, elements of what they create in those experiments do become part of shipping products later on.
Right. And yeah,
so that makes sense.
So anyway, the rumor here seems to be that Kevin Lynch is in charge of this product. Kevin Lynch, the Flash guy, who became the Apple Watch guy, who became the guy who knifed the Apple Car project in the heart, in my heart. It really was. It was a knife through my heart.
Well, we don't know if he personally knifed it or if he was instructed to slice this up
and
put it out of its misery.
Yeah, I assume that his instructions were, okay, someone's got to get over there and decide if we got to knife this.
Then he hopped in and was like,
yep.
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up.
Yep. Yeah, and this is sheer supposition on my part. I want to be clear. This is like Brian and apparently Jeff just guessing. We don't really know, but I think that there's a very good chance that we're right.
Well, this is Brian spinning a tapestry from a thread, as you have said, and me with a big spool of thread, and I'm just feeding it to you as fast as I can.
that works. So anyway, it's like Kevin Lynch is in charge, and Matt Costello, who is HomePod guy. Right. He's the HomePod guy, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, leads development of Apple's HomePod smart speaker. So he's working on the hardware side of this. Kevin Lynch is, I guess, assumedly working on the software side of this. And the point is that it's back to a HomePod with a screen that follows you around robotically.
And it'll cost about $1,000.
Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah.
And furthermore, that this is, if this product comes out, this is going to be the beginning of Apple's home robotics effort. This is not like the Apple Watch, where getting the Apple Watch ready to go was the end game of that project. I mean, yeah, they've iterated on Apple Watch, many times. Yes, they've iterated on watchOS many times. But the point is that, like, Apple Watch was the product. I don't this product is going to be, like, apparently the first of many products dealing with robots. This
is the beginning of a new product category for Apple.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. That's much better, much more succinctly put than me.
Well, you know, you gave me all the pieces, and then I edited it for you. So it took a village on that one. My first thoughts with this whole thing have been, what is Apple going to do that will differentiate this product enough to make it worth the price point that it's rumored to hit? And what triggered that thought for me was at WWDC in 2023, Apple introduced Desk Kit, which is a tool. It's a platform, set of tools, software tools that allow companies like Belkin, which Apple actually demoed at the event, as I recall, it lets you take your iPhone and then essentially turn it into a desktop robot of sorts. And so the product that Belkin released, stick your iPhone on it, and now it tracks your movement. So you can walk around, like walk in a circle around this thing, and it will track you the whole way around. And so you can use it. The way Belkin presented their product was, you want to make videos of you doing something where you're not stationary. You're moving around in a circle, back and forth.
Dude, you're dancing in a TikTok / reel. Duh.
There you go. Yes. See, once again, it took a village to get there. But also, let's say you're doing a FaceTime chat with your mom, and you're walking around while you're chatting. Your iPhone, because it's stuck on the Belkin stage. Is that right?
Yes.
Anyhow, it'll follow you. So we have a product on the market today that uses Apple technology to in essence turn your iPhone into a kind of robot. And so long-winded way of getting to my first thoughts were, what is Apple going to do that will make their version of this kind of device worth the price? Because the Belkin price point is under $200.
It's like, yeah, the Belkin stage is what it's called. It's a stage.
Belkin stage. There we go.
It's a stage auto tracking stand pro with it. I mean, it is literally just a motorized stand. Sounds like Apple is going to be making something that has HomePod quality speakers and probably a built-in screen, not something that you're attaching your iPhone to.
Sure. So, yeah, so you're paying for the display, you're paying for the speaker. Great. But if that's all it is, then I question the value in this product.
Why would you do that? Why would you assume that Apple would release something that would leave you questioning its value?
You know me, I will question everything Apple does until they do it. And when they show me what they've done and then prove to me that, okay, this is a legit product, then I'll be happy. And until then, I just don't want to blindly give them the benefit of, hey, they're just going to make a cool thing. Because I remember iPod socks. I remember the hockey puck mouse.
Oh my God, man, that is such, that there is such a vast weight of counter products. And, but especially here, like, I mean, it'd be okay. So like Apple, like leaks, like Mark Gurman does a story that Apple's going to be making some knitted booties for an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And
iPod cozies.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some element to that one could be done anyway. But the point is this: if Apple's going to release this product for $1,000, it's probably going to be worth it to at least a subset of people to pay $1,000 for it.
Sure, of course it will. And I mean, we can say that right now with Vision Pro, which, by the way, I think is a very cool product. But it's a product that today has value to people who are willing to spend $3,500, and so it's self-selecting. All right, so Brian, here's the other side of that whole, what is Apple going to do that's going to make this product worth $1,000? And it, the other side of it is, oh, wait, Apple once again is testing the waters by making other people spend the money to make the products. So they release Desk Kit at WWDC in 2023, and we get Belkin releasing a product. And actually, who else even has Desk Kit products out?
I don't know, but again, I don't. There will continue to be a place for the Belkin stage long after Apple has released this product. The Belkin stage is aimed at,
of course,
is a completely different segment of the market than this larger robotics project. I think the better question is, so it's going to have HomePod speakers. Now, that could be just a HomePod mini quality, that, you know, or it could be something more akin to a HomePod with, you know, with the full body bass response and everything. And it's probably going to have an iPad on it. My bigger question is, what is this thing going to do that's going to make me want it?
Yes, that's the big question for me.
I can see someone wanting,
I was incapable of saying that until you said it.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, like, I can see wanting a stay. I don't do too many dance TikToks. I do some.
Yeah, well, see, you don't do a lot, but the ones you do, they're just chef's kiss epic.
Yeah, and for the record, I don't do any. Anyway, my point is that...
But you should.
I can see wanting a stage for doing TikToks and Reels. That to me makes sense. I kind of, you know, and maybe it's just because I do lead a kind of sedentary life right now, but I find it a little harder to accept that I need an iPod attached, excuse me, an iPhone attached to my HomePod, and that I need it to follow me around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to throw the correction out right now before people start emailing and messaging us. It's not Desk Kit. It's Dock Kit.
Mm.
But that shows you how well known this is. Here I am.
Yeah, I didn't.
I couldn't even remember the correct name.
I didn't. No, I don't even remember Apple announcing this, to be honest.
I remember watching the keynote, and I remember watching the demo with the Belkin thing, and thinking, oh, okay, I can see where for TikTokers and this would be a cool thing, but I wasn't seeing how this could be that something that was that useful in a wider range of products at that time.
Okay, right. But again, I don't think this thing should be measured against the stage.
No, it shouldn't. But that's where we're starting, and. Actually, part of that for me, starting there, goes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago. Apple is letting other people spend the money to test the waters on this whole product category because they rolled out DockKit so other companies could make things. Apple can watch what they're doing, figure out what works and what doesn't, so they don't make whatever mistakes they see in the product that they ultimately release.
Yeah, but I mean, no one's done it yet. Because again, stage is not in competition with this heretofore imagined Apple product.
Doesn't need to be. It just needs to be something that uses the technologies so that Apple can see what works and what doesn't. Like what they did with was it the rocker phone that.
Yeah, it was good. The Motorola Rocker, which was
the they let Motorola eat all of the research costs, and then they made their thing, and I think now that's what they're doing with DockKit, and they're letting Belkin and other companies
other imagine do that. Companies.
No, there are other companies. I know that there's, the camera, Insta, they have a gimbal, a DockKit gimbal. And I believe that there are other products out there, but here's the thing. You're like, I don't even know if there's anything out there. And I'm racking my brain to come up with two. So how many companies really are making DockKit?
Okay, but to be fair, products? We're idiots. I'm an idiot. You're not an idiot. I'm an idiot. So
we may be idiots, but at least you have good looks.
Oh, good Lord. I'm in trouble. I will be very interested to see Apple announce this product and make its use case pitch, because I don't see it now. I, however, unlike you, assume that Apple, if Apple releases this product, that they will have a use case, and that, well, you know, it's interesting because they didn't know what we'd do with Apple Watch, and they didn't know what we'd do with that with iPad.
Right. And I'm glad you jumped on that right away, because I was waiting for you to catch your breath and I was going to jump in with that.
Yeah, that's true. I also don't want to be like my good friend whom I love deeply, John Martellaro. And he was like, you can just speak into your Apple Watch. For controlling your home stuff, right? I in particular, and I think you were too, making the case that speaking to the air is infinitely preferable than speaking into your wrist when it comes to controlling your home.
Yes, and I still, even with all of the issues that I have with voice control smart speakers, I still believe that's true.
I want to talk to
the air, not to my wrist.
I believe that this has been borne out by reality. So we're going back many years when we would have this argument with John. And he would just say, you can just lift your Apple Watch to your wrist. I don't want to be making that kind of argument, but I don't feel like I need my HomeKit or Siri to follow my face. I mean, like, okay. Maybe from a clock standpoint, like, you know, maybe always having the clock facing you no matter where you are in the room, maybe there would be value in that.
Yeah, or your weather. You could just lift your wrist.
Your weather report.
All right. So I'm going to invoke Chaffin's razor.
Okay.
And for those of you that don't know, Chaffin's razor states that if something doesn't make sense or if it seems like crazy, there's a piece of information we're missing that gives you the clarity. So it now makes sense. And
that's close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough. Sure. But you know, mostly pedantic. Here's the thing. I think in this case, Chaffin's razor tells us that there is something else that's going to happen that will make whatever this product is actually make sense. Because right now we are thinking about it in this, even with all the other features that we've talked about, at its core, it's still basically the Belkin stand. It's a screen that's just moving around and following us. There's going to be something different. And it's something that Apple hasn't announced yet. And when that other thing is announced, then whatever this rumored HomePod with a screen that follows you will make sense, and it will make sense in a way where here I am today, the guy that's going, I don't know. I'll be like, oh yeah, that's actually cool, and I totally get it. So we need that other piece, and it's not going to come this year or next year, I think. But when it does, we'll be like, oh yeah.
Yeah, and there's,
we won't be pulling at straws like we are now. Well, you know, I can have my clock follow me as I'm moving around, or see the weather, and I don't have to spin the thing around.
Fair. Yeah,
that's not where Apple's going with this.
There is one more factor from Mr. Gurman's report that we should mention, and that's that Apple supposedly has a, quote, team of several hundred people, unquote, working on, quote, a pricey tabletop home device that combines an iPad-like interface with a robotic limb. And the point I wanted to make about that is that if we take that report as accurate, which I think Gurman has the kind of reputation and track record that would make that a very reasonable and proper thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
A team of several hundred people means, you know, essentially a minimum of 300 people working on this.
Okay.
And 300 people at, say, $180,000 a year on average, which is probably light, but with, you know, benefits and associated costs, is probably more like $250,000 a piece. But anyway, that's, you know, in excess of $54 million a year just in people costs at a minimum that Apple is spending on working this. And I don't think that they're working on figuring out if this is something they can do. To me, Apple marshaling those kinds of resources is the kind of thing that Apple does when it's trying to get a product out.
Mm-hmm.
So I posit that indicates that Apple is very serious about this product.
I'm going to throw a harebrained idea out. What if this is something that they plan on tying very heavily into their own AI efforts.
The Apple intelligence?
Yes. So where I'm going with this totally harebrained idea that I admittedly just pulled out of my butt. What if this becomes the knowledge navigator that I've been wanting my iPad to be all along? And now it's this thing where it's on the counter in my kitchen or office, whatever. And I walk into the room and it detects that I'm in the room. The display spins around. Hello, Jeff. Good morning. You have three appointments today, and one of them is with Brian. Should I order alcohol now? And, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, but what if that's what we're really going with this?
Your phone could do that. Your phone should do that.
Yeah, and I can raise my wrist to talk to my Apple Watch to make the Yes Lady do things instead of having a HomePod sitting here.
Fair. And there's actually, there's no reason that, there's nothing that's saying that this mythical Apple device for the tabletop and your phone couldn't both do something like that. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. All right. I'm in. It's, knowledge navigator.
Yeah. That would be a really cool application for this type of device and a stepping stone towards the next version, which can be mobile. So you can have this little robot that's coming, like the robots that companies like Amazon were trying to push on us and have all ultimately failed. What if Apple can give us that little in-home robot thing that we can interact with? If anyone can give us that kind of product successfully, I could see it being Apple.
I agree. I mean, because there have been many attempts already, especially in the last several years, to introduce that home robot companion.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Apple is the company that can actually make it work. So, mm-hmm. By the way, if you're curious about what the Knowledge Navigator is, you can ask your grandparents.
We asked your grandparents. That's how we knew about it.
Or you can look at the Fast Company. Yep, they've got the YouTube video. So we've got a link to Fast Company in the show notes. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Okay. I was going to link just to the video, but I like doing the Fast Company thing because I think it, for the people that didn't get to experience this when Apple first dropped the video on us all those years ago. Yeah,
this is a John Sculley product, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, this will give you some great context for it too. So nice find, Brian.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I really like the idea of pretending that I had that before we started recording.
I am pretending right now.
Right. So another thing that we can pretend about is LinkedIn jobs. Why don't I tell you about
it? I don't think we have to pretend.
We don't. Because
they're legit and real.
Oh my goodness, you're right. So when you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That seems obvious. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. That seems really important to me. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. You can hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. And the thing is, the thing about LinkedIn Jobs that makes me so happy, that I'm so happy that they've been sponsoring us for a long time, is the LinkedIn Jobs dashboard. It puts everything at your fingertips. Your job description, your candidates, the questions. What do you call those questions? The questions. Your qualifying questions. Yeah, the questions you use for your initial qualifying process. It puts all of that.
Your screening questions.
Screening questions. Thanks. It puts all of this at your fingertips. It makes it really easy to manage the whole hiring process. And LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. 2.5 million businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. And that's why they've done all this. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow, that's super cool. Thank you, LinkedIn Jobs.
We appreciate them sponsoring the show. So we do have another topic, and that's the thing with the people.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us. It's been great being here with all of you today. No, the thing about the thing. All right. So for those of you that don't speak Brianese, what Brian said is, hey, so the news came out that in iOS 18.1, third-party apps will be able to access the iPhone's NFC chip. And that has raised a lot of speculation about what exactly that will mean. And see, here's how good I am at translating Brianese, because I can continue on and tell you what Brian what meant to say. Well, he did. You just didn't speak the right language. So this means that other companies can offer contactless payment platforms through the iPhone. So like, instead of using Apple Pay and Apple Wallet, you could use Google Wallet and Google Pay or something else. That's assuming that Amazon actually does bring their version of contactless payment to the iPhone. And but it also means that say car makers, they can make your car keys part of NFC, and in a way that's different from what we're seeing being done today. You know, because there's
corporate badges, student IDs, door locks, home keys. You basically, people, third party device makers won't have to use HomeKit necessarily to be able to do Apple's NFC stuff. And same thing with, like, you know, wallet makers and payment services and things like that.
Which makes sense, because there are certain situations where the platforms that Apple has available today, like HomeKit, aren't appropriate for what the product or service needs to do.
Right. So. And one of the things that we've been told is that it was security reasons why Apple didn't allow third parties to access its NFC technology.
Yeah, because some of it used Secure Enclave.
Yeah. And Apple doesn't want Secure Enclave to be accessible by third parties. And I have long supported that goal.
So I believe that they still will not have direct access to Secure Enclave.
Yay!
So there's a feature that's called Secure Element, and I don't know if that means it's like a separate thing that's built into the operating system that mimics Secure Enclave, or if it acts as a go-between,
or if it's a replacement.
Where it's not going to be a replacement for Secure Enclave, because that's hardware. I don't know exactly what secure element entails.
Secure element is officially an API.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, all right. Brian, one of the things that I've heard some people say is, oh, great. This means that now, I will have to have Apple Wallet and Google Wallet and Samsung Wallet and Chase Wallet and Wells Fargo Wallet and all these different wallets on my phone just so I can use each credit card because each company is going to do their own thing. And I don't believe that's the case.
No.
And
go ahead.
It's not on it. You can already do this on Android, and that's not how it works on Android. So don't expect it to be different on iPhone.
Yeah. I won't be using any of these third party things. I am just fine being in Apple's walled garden. I am utterly fine being in Apple's walled garden.
Well, what if, it's, let's say you get a new car and they have a secure NFC car lock thing that takes advantage of the NFC and secure element.
Nope. I don't want it. I don't trust car makers anyway. I don't want it. Use HomeKit or get out of my life.
Well, HomeKit is appropriate for some things, but not all things. So, I am, this is going to sound crazy because of the way I've been through the whole show so far. I'm actually withholding judgment on this one until I see what companies are doing.
I'm certainly not installing Google Wallet or Amazon Pay or Samsung Pay. I will not be doing those things.
And I'm with you. I don't have any need to do that, and I won't. But if there's some other service that I use that takes advantage of this, and I feel like it's safe and appropriate for me to use that, maybe I won't have a problem with that. I don't know.
Fair enough.
All right, Brian, here's the other thing for me about this. I do not think Apple is doing this because they're being altruistic and they're thinking, hey, you know, this is a great way to get more people to use iPhones.
No, well, they're being forced to by European regulators.
They're not being forced to.
Yes.
Exactly. The Apple is preemptively offering this feature because they don't want to have to do it under government guidelines and restrictions or requirements.
They know that the EU is going to come down on them for this, for not allowing everybody and their brother to use their NFC stuff.
So they're preemptively rolling this out, and they're doing it ultimately, it'll be around the world, but initially it'll be in several countries. And this is a preemptive strategic move on Apple's part.
And it's a preemptive strategic move on Apple's part in hopes of heading off any attempted regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Because Apple still does main control with the scheme that it's announced here. And this is, I guess, starting in iOS 18.1. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's usually like December, January, February timeframe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe November, but I kind of doubt that.
No, that's way too early.
Yeah. And
I think it'll be next year, really.
Yeah. But the scheme that they've announced leaves Apple firmly in control of these technologies. They're going to be granting few companies actual access to this API, to these APIs. It's not going to be anyone can come and, you know, just use these APIs.
Right. And these companies will be paying licensing fees to use it. Now, on one hand, cool, because that, in my mind, has the likelihood to restrict or reduce the number of developers who want to get into this to scam people. It reduces the number of those. And I think the companies that really would be interested in using this are going to be bigger companies anyhow. So financial institutions, governments, big companies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe we'll be able to use it with our desktop HomePod robot.
Probably not, because Apple would not require Apple to go through these APIs.
Yeah. Did I do an okay job of translating the thing about the thing from Brian to English?
Yeah, sure. More or less.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So on that happy note, I'm going to try to find QuickTime, LOL. And then I'm going to say that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Oh, good Lord. I did it again.
Oh, bless your heart.
That's this week. Yes. And that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
Yes. And hey, thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor.
Yes, we very much appreciate it. And we hope that you have a great day.
Yeah, we still got it.